Public Opinion versus Politicians' Attitudes. Americans and their representatives back the UN with strong support for U.S. global engagement. In 2005, the Stanley Foundation, along with Americans for Informed Democracy and the United Nations Foundation, co-sponsored a series of town hall-style meetings throughout the Midwest that included discussion of the future of U.S.-UN relations. Featured speakers at two events in the Twin Cities were Thomas Pickering, former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, and Charles J. Brown, President and CEO of Citizens for Global Solutions. Brown explores the puzzling disconnect between the American public and its foreign policy leaders. This article was co-authored by Sam Stein, an Edward Ross and Communications Fellow at Citizens for Global Solutions. Famed commentator H.L. Mencken once noted that nobody ever went broke underestimating the taste of the American public. Today, Mencken would feel vindicated, knowing that the U.S. government is drastically underestimating the public's support for the United Nations and UN reform. Currently, within and between political parties, an argument persists as to whether the U.S.-UN relationship most appropriately represents a dysfunctional marriage or a failed kinship. Take, for example, Congress's last session, in which 74 members of the House of Representatives, including Majority Leader Tom DeLay, Republican from Texas, voted to cut off all the United States financial support for the United Nations. While in contrast, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice urged that we shouldn't abandon the UN, we should make it a stronger instrument. In actuality, these deep divides over the United Nations are highly unreflective of the general consensus held by the American public. Americans don't see U.S.-UN relations as dysfunctional or unsalvageable. Rather, they see the partnership as one of convenience. Poll after poll shows that the majority of Americans not only support the United Nations and its mission, but would like to see the international body strengthened so that it can meet the challenges of the 21st century. In fact, in a 2001 Pew poll, 92% of the public said that strengthening the United Nations should be an American foreign policy objective. Unfortunately, political officials and members of the media rarely acknowledge such findings. Often, they flat out disregard them. In a study by the Center of International Security Studies, 67% of Congress and 62% of the media said that they believed the public, in fact, did not support strengthening the United Nations. In addition, America's politicians frequently misjudge how closely they share their constituents' vision of the United States' role in the world and its relationship with the international community. According to a 2004 Chicago Council on Foreign Relations study, 78% of elected leaders and 66% of the public believe the United States should support UN policy even if it may not reflect America's priorities. However, only 16% of elected leaders estimated that the public shared this position. Likewise, while 84% of elected leaders and 78% of the public believe the United States should participate in UN international peacekeeping operations, only 39% of elected leaders said the public shared their view. The mile-wide gap. Our elected officials are proving Mencken's axiom. They are underestimating the public they've been appointed to serve. As a result, a mile-wide gap exists between actual public sentiment and what elected officials perceive public opinion to be. These findings are depressingly unfortunate. Currently, there is a small but diminishing window of opportunity for America to reform and forge the relationship it wants with the United Nations. This opportunity comes in the form of Secretary General Kofi Annan's recently released report, In Larger Freedom, which offers what journalist Tracy Huckill calls the most dramatic reform since the United Nations' inception in 1945. Annan's recommendations, both comprehensive in detail and sweeping in vision, are very much structured around America's interests. For example, Annan's report calls for such U.S.-supported proposals as a peace-building commission to help countries transition from civil war to functionality, a democracy fund to unite and promote nations with shared democratic principles, a worldwide warning system for all natural hazards to save thousands of lives from future tsunamis, the replacement of the Commission on Human Rights with a smaller Human Rights Council, whose members would agree to abide by standards the Council oversees. For many, In Larger Freedom is a practical and appealing starting point for any UN reform discussion. Even the caustic anti-UN Senator Norm Coleman, a Republican from Minnesota, noted that it's in America's interest to look at ways to partner with countries that share our values. We need a democracy caucus at the UN. End quote. Citizens' role. Yet much more is needed to turn Annan's proposals into reality. For starters, the American public must remind their elected officials that they support a U.S. foreign policy of broad multilateralism, one that includes a more collaborative and productive U.S.-UN relationship. In addition, America's leaders must stop underestimating the public's desire for a stronger, more accountable, reformed United Nations. Clearly, there exists a large community comprised of the public and policymakers who, despite different political persuasions, often share a vision of United Nations reform and U.S. global engagement. Unfortunately, neither the people nor policymakers have made the connection, nor have they recognized the power they could bring to these issues should they join forces. This disconnect must be overcome if the United Nations is to be an effective partner for U.S. foreign policy. Our elected officials must start paying attention to the voters by uniting in support of a reformed United Nations capable of responding to the threats and challenges of the 21st century. This came from the Stanley Foundation, publication number 48, printed in The Courier, summer 2005. It was read by Anne Milholland.